Hallelujah. How's everybody tonight? Blessed and highly favored. Welcome to Training for Reigning. If you don't think you need training, you're full of pride. Stinky pride. Everybody needs training, don't we? Amen? Oh, hallelujah. You know, the Word says something specifically, that there is life and death in the power of the tongue. Life and death in the power of the tongue. So it's vital that we speak life, isn't it? You know, there's something very wonderful when the presence of God begins to show up. We begin to respond to it. But let me tell you that if your heart is hardened, you won't sense the presence of God. And you won't respond. And when we respond to the things of God, sometimes He'll even call your name and you respond. It's almost like He comes up and taps you and touches you. And it's like, yes. That presence just comes and moves your heart. When He moves your heart, you respond. And you're responding because you touched His heart. He responds to you, and you respond to Him. Does everybody get it? That's why the Word says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. You know, we are in such a critical time. It's that it is so vitally important that we hear what God is saying. Vitally. I preached a message Sunday called The Great Escape. You can go to YouTube, and when you get on YouTube, go to Eternal Library and look up Great Escape, and I encourage you to tell people, get it viral, because it's important, The Great Escape. And in this arena, many people are going to be responding or reacting to what they hear. And we are in such a phenomenal time and season. In fact, I have heard of, I know God spoke to multiple individuals the way He spoke to me also. And when I gave that message. And again, people are going to either respond or react. Now, I want to share some things about responding and reacting because it's vitally important. Because one of the things the enemy wants to do is to react. He doesn't want you to respond. In the book of Genesis, in chapter 3, which we have read multiple times, this is where it began. In Genesis chapter 3, in verse 1, it says, now the serpent was what? More cunning. I want you to please grab hold. He can outwit you in a second. You don't have the Holy Ghost, He'll outwit you in a second. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which God, the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? There was a challenge here. The serpent was challenging Eve. One of the things he was trying to do is get her to react or actually act on something. Because a woman responds. Now she responds. Why? She's responding because God told her. So when you respond because what God says. When you react according to what man thinks. And a woman responded and said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said. So she was responding to what God said. You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Very simple. The serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Wow. So the serpent promoted doubt by reason that God was holding something back from her. Does everybody get this? He was trying to cause her to react, but before he can get her to react, he had to put something in there, a corruptible seed, that was saying, God is holding something back from you. And how did he do that? He said, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be what? Open, and you will be like what? God, knowing good and evil. So one of the things that the serpent loves to try to do is always to try to, before he can get you to act on something, he tries to bring something in that brings doubt. But he starts with reason. He tries to get you to reason. See, that's his way of manipulation. It's cunning. Does everybody get this? It's cunning. So he says to her, he says, well, you know, God really didn't say that, you know. And she's like, what do you mean he didn't say that? Well, really, because if you do partake of what I have to offer you, you will be like God. So God is holding something back from you. Every person in this room has always felt that sometime or another, that God was holding something back at one time. Why haven't you done this yet, God? Well, when we say that, it means we believe he's holding something back. Am I correct? Amen. And what that does, it opens a door. Now, the serpent promoted doubt by reason that God was holding something back from Eve. Now, Eve responded to the serpent in the beginning by saying, God said. So she was using what God was saying. Does everybody get that? Amen? Now look it. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that's lust of the flesh, that it was pleasant to the eyes, that's lust of the eye, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, that is pride of life, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And, of course, both of their eyes were open. They were blinded to the spirit realm. They no longer saw the serpent, the angels. They no longer saw God. They were brought forth in the flesh. And this is where self was birthed. Now, because Eve responded to what God said, but the serpent then changed her view with a lie. And he is the father of lies. He changed her view to look at him with lust. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life. To eat. Now, I want you to understand something. When the word said here to eat, it means to partake. Jesus said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. That's to partake of him, isn't it? Does everybody get that? We are partaking of his word, which is his flesh, and drinking of his blood, which is his spirit. We are partaking of him. Well, the serpent had another idea, because in the act of partake, it was actually a sexual act. And in this, the serpent had intercourse with Eve. Self was birthed. She was pregnant and produced children. One, the children which we call Abel and Cain, one was what we might call righteousness or good, and one was evil. It says in that, go to Genesis chapter 5. One of the things that it said, we'll go to Genesis 4 for a second first, while we're there. It says, now Adam knew Eve, verse 1. Adam knew who? Eve. And she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Well, I want you to understand that angels were known as lords. And seraphim was also associated with serpent. And when the serpent had intercourse with Eve, Adam knew she was pregnant. He knew she was pregnant. And it says that she had Cain. And then it said that she bore again, and this time she had Abel. Now, they might have been twins. They might have been, Eve was righteous at first, right? So when she had both children, it might have been one, maybe even one came from Adam, who knows, and one came from the serpent, but I don't think so. I personally believe that they were both from the serpent. And because of this act, both children, one was good and one was evil. In other words, from the tree of the what? Knowledge of good and evil. If you go to Genesis chapter 5, in verse 1, it says, this is the book of the genealogy of Adam, and the day that God created man, he made him in likeness of God. Adam was made in the likeness of God. He created them, male and female, and blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created. Now look at verse 3. Everybody read it with me. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and named him who? So Adam only had one son in his likeness and image. Does everybody understand that? Well, then who were the other two sons in the likeness of image? Amen. Is everybody okay? Again, I want you to grab hold of something here because it's very powerful. Because Seth was the only one mentioned now that he was in Adam's image. And it says now, after he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years. And he had sons and daughters. So all the days of Adam lived were 935 years. Mr. Testosterone. Praise God, 935 years, slam. Now we know that Adam and Eve were cut off from the tree of life. They could no longer eat of it. Does everybody get it? That tree was cut off now. It said that the tree of life was cut off, not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Hello. From that point on, everything is still reacting from the first fall. Why? Because lust is associated with the act that originated in the garden, and it's still reacting. In other words, it's still reoccurring, isn't it? How does the devil tempt me and you? Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and what? Pride of life. Amen? Does everybody get that? It's called flesh, but it's also associated with self. So when you and I react, we are feeding self, or what we call flesh. Now, the works of the flesh is a react. So you have a choice to either respond according to what God says, or you're going to react according to self, the flesh. In Galatians chapter 5. Why? Because life and death is in the power of the tongue. And what you sow is what you what? Reap. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Would you read it with me? Now the works of the flesh are, which is this, remember, when you see flesh, it's associated with self. That's where you and I were born with. We were actually known as children of wrath. We were children of the devil. Has everybody got it? That's why you got to be born again. You get a new spirit. But the old one is still there. It's called self, flesh. In verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are what? Adultery. Isn't that what happened? Why is adultery the first thing? Isn't that what happened in the garden? Fornication, the second thing. Isn't that what happened in the garden? Amen. Uncleanness. Isn't that what happened in the garden? Lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because self cannot enter the kingdom of God. It is the child of the serpent. Has everybody got this? You and I were born in darkness. Look at, go to Ephesians chapter 2 for a second. Ephesians 2. Is everybody there? Hallelujah. Ephesians 2, verse 1. Let's read it. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to who? The prince of power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Why? Because we were the offspring of Satan's. We were the seeds of the serpent. Does everybody get this? We were born in the image and likeness of darkness, not in the image and likeness of Christ. That's why you and I must be born again. But that is still there. That's why you battled, isn't it? Amen? Why? And the demons love to support self. They promote self. Oh, man, they want to feed self. They do everything they can to get self in you to battle with the new you, the new creation. Why? They want to bring you back to react. See, self loves to react. But the new creation wants to respond. Everybody okay? Praise God. Go to Galatians 5 again. And I just want to go to verse 22. Let's look at what respond does, since we just saw what react is. Verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. What's the next one? Self-control. Control over what? Self. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified. Everyone say crucified. The flesh with its passions and desires. You crucify self. You keep it on the cross when you are led by the Spirit. If you are not being led by the Spirit, then flesh is leading you. Self is running your life. Does everybody got that? If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. These are the fruits of the new man. So you'll be able to determine the fruits of the old man and the fruits of the new man. One loves to react to get fed. The other one loves to respond to be fed. Why? Because what you speak is what you eat. What you eat is what you become. So if you're going to react in something and speak it, who are you feeding? Self, which is the child of darkness. But if you respond to something, who are you feeding? The child of God. So we've got to get to a place where we begin to choke, react, and wait for respond. Does everybody get it? You got to do everything you can, no matter what, how you feel, what you think. You got to grab hold of react until respond comes. Because we have a tendency to think worst first. Hello. Romans 12. Romans 12. In verse 1. React or respond is the name of the teaching. We've got some of this teaching and other teachings. I'm sure you might have heard some of them. In verse 1 it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or your responsibility. Why? What are you going to do? You want to present your spirit, soul, and body and flesh to the Lord. Lord, it's yours. Take it. Surrender to Him every day. Surrender to Him. Give it to Him. And it says this, and do not be what? Verse 2, read it with me. Do not be what? Conformed to this world. In other words, don't get involved in demon management. Hello? Don't be taken by the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life of the world. We need to deprogram from the world and reprogram from the throne. And do not be conformed to the world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, but it starts by your surrender, not your survival. Your surrender. Surrender yourself to God. When you begin to surrender yourself to God, new thoughts start to come because when you surrender, you're willing to do whatever it takes. Does everybody get it? When you surrender to the Lord, what does He do? He starts to feed you with His Word. So your spirit man must have the Word of God to feed it. It must have the Spirit of God to drink. It must have food. In fact, people don't realize that you can last longer without food. But you can't last long without water. Has everybody got it? And it's amazing to me and how many people refuse to worship God. I've seen ministers that don't even worship God, and they got no right ministering at all. Because if you can't minister to the king, you got no right ministering to nobody else. None. Why? Because you're not fulfilling your priesthood. And you cannot be a warrior unless you're fulfilling your priesthood. Why? Because the anointing's not there. Not there at all. It's all religious garbage. You may know the word, but you're not backed by the presence of God. And when you're not backed by the presence of God, devils laugh at you. They know God's presence is there. They know you, they know that you know the word, but they know that God's presence isn't with you. So again, when you're not sensitive enough to respond to God's presence and honor and worship Him, the greatest thing that you and I can do to say thank you is to worship Him. But without that, there's really no relationship. It's just reading a book about somebody. That's all it is. But you never really know Him because He's spirit. And you must know Him in truth and in spirit. Is everybody okay? And 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Hallelujah. What you serve is what you worship. And what you worship is what you serve. See, many people serve themselves. Even when they go preach. That's what the Lord, when that guy died and went to heaven, the Lord rebuked him. He said, you preach for yourself. You didn't preach for me. In verse 6, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, is everybody there? Let's read it. Therefore what? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Well, let me tell you, one way of humbling yourself is worshiping the Lord. If you can't worship God, you can't. There's no humble there. You can't come out of your mouth and sing to the King of Glory that created you. You're full of pride. There's no humbleness. It's pride and arrogance. Self is running your life. Therefore, humble yourself. Did you see the word? Yourself. You got to beat down self. Humble! Down, boy! Pow. you know, it's like a little choo chihuahua sometimes. They gnaw at your ankle. Rawr, rawr. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. You, see, there's a difference between yourself and you. Yourself must come down where you and the King of Glory can have fellowship. And it says something very important. Everybody look at the next thing. Casting your what? Your cares. Upon who? Him, not your neighbor or your pastor. Or your spouse. Not cast them on the Lord. Go to the throne, not the phone. Amen? Too many people run to the phone first. Like something's going to happen. They're hoping God's listening in. They're hoping he tapped their phone, you know. He hears you, but he ain't doing nothing. Not until you go to him. Amen? Cast your cares on the Lord. Why? Because he doesn't want you to react. That's a part of responding when things begin to happen. You respond by what? Getting rid of the things that cause you to react. It says, be sober. In other words, alert. Be vigilant. Consistent in this. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can what? Devour. Well, how is he going to devour you? By to get you to react. Do you know rebellion is a form of react? Hello? So when we get together to worship, you choose not to. You're rebellious. You are reacting. Why? Because you're not responding to his call. He calls us. Oh, hallelujah. So we're to cast our cares. We're to be alert. We're to be consistent. Alert, consistent in word, fellowship, prayer. Why? Because the devil's trying to sneak in. He's cunning. He wants to cause you to sow in the flesh. Galatians 6. When you react, you feed self and you sow to the flesh. So we need a choke collar for react. That's self. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Please read it with me. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, he's going to reap. For he who sows to himself, hello? He who sows to himself, flesh, will of the flesh reap what? Corruption. That means there's a heading towards destruction. But he who sows to the Spirit, will of the Spirit reap what? Everlasting life. In other words, you're going to either react or respond. React or respond. Look at, you're going to want to react right away. You wouldn't believe whatever. You got to grab hold and react. Okay, Lord. Praise be to God. All things work to the good. To those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And God, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but he delivers us out of all of them. He who is to me is greater than he is in the world. Amen? Then you can always sing the song, stop in the name of love before I cast you out. Think it over, homie. Sow to the flesh, you reap corruption, because you just fed yourself, the child of darkness. You sow to the Spirit, you respond, you reap life, because you just sowed to the new one. And you get refreshed, not refleshed. Ephesians 4. Hallelujah. You know, people don't realize that the only way out is to sow in the Spirit. The more you sow in the Spirit, you got to pray your way through. Speak your way through. Everything is done by that way. Everything. Sing your way through. No matter what's going on. You speak light. You speak light. You speak life. What you speak is what you eat. What you eat is what you become. Ephesians 4:17. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. Therefore, do not be what? Oh, excuse me. Thus, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you what? Should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. Having their understanding what? Darkened. Being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness. With what? Greediness. But you've not so learned Christ. You're not understood. You don't get the essence of who Christ really is, or you'd be responding, not reacting. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you do what? You put off, man. You put it off. God's required you to take it, put it off. Not people, oh, Lord, take. No, you take it off. I've given you the authority. You. People are waiting on God. He said, man, I gave it to you already. I'm waiting for you to do something. That you put off concerning your former conduct of who? The old man. And now this is not your ex-husband, your ex-boyfriend, or the one, whatever. This old man is called self. Does everybody get it? You are responsible for putting off self, not God, which grows corrupt. Why? Because sowing to the flesh brings what? Corruption. According to the deceitful lusts, where it started right in the garden. And be renewed in the what? Spirit of your, the spirit of your mind is the new man. It's not the old man. The old man's mind can never be renewed. It will always hate God. It will always be rebellious. It will always buck and not bow. It cannot be renewed. This is why he says right here, and be renewed in the what? Spirit. In the spirit of your mind. That is the new man. Your old man's mind cannot be renewed. It's impossible. And that you what? Verse 24. That you put on the what? The new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Wow. Come on, I want to show you something. Romans 8. We're going there. Romans 8. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Verse 5. That you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's the mind, the new man's mind. So everybody got it? The new man. The old man cannot be renewed. It can be. It's supposed to be crucified, not renewed. You certainly don't want to revive the child of the serpent, the child of Satan, do you? It'd be like you trying to talk to Satan, say, man, you need to get renewed. You need to get saved. Yeah, right. Look at this. Verse 5, read it with me. For those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Okay? For to be what? Carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Look at this verse. Everyone, look. Verse 6, or verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. Everybody got it. So we are not trying to renew the mind of self. We are renewing, bringing to the new man in you, the mind has to catch up, be renewed with what God is saying. He's the one that's going to receive. It's like getting an empty vessel and filling it now. You get an empty body, you got a spirit, now you got to fill it. Just like a baby. The baby has to learn how to speak. The baby has to learn how to walk. The baby has to learn how to dance and everything else. That's why babes in Christ, because their spirits are born. You are born again. You get a brand new spirit. You get a brand new mind. Now you got to feed that spirit. You got to feed that mind. You got to strengthen it. Does everybody get this? Remember, the old, you don't want to know. You know, man, you want to keep distance from the old man. You want to keep distance. So the only way that you're going to do this is by eating the word and drinking the blood. That's drinking the spirit. That's how the new man gets strong in the Lord. He gets new eyes. Just like a baby, as it begins to grow from baby, then a toddler, then adolescent, then adult. Your spirit man grows the same way. But God is moving quickly. Believe me, he moves very quickly in this place. That sometimes is a problem because he moves so quick that people's pride, they think they know everything. Did you ever talk to a teenager? They know everything. You can't tell them nothing. Yeah, I know. Hallelujah. I won't go there. Praise God. Is everybody all right? Hallelujah. So, do you get this now? The old man, you don't want to renew it. You want to kill it. Keep it crucified. That's why the devil can only attack you from your past. What's he trying to do? Get your old man alive. He throws fiery darts, doesn't he? That's why you need the shield of faith. If he can get your old man to stay awake, then self controls you, and you don't have control over self. Then the only thing you're thinking of is what you want, according to feeding yourself instead of feeding the new man. Then you live for you and not for him. So then when you labor, you're not laboring for him, you're laboring for you. What can I get out of it? See, but when we labor unto the Lord. We're always, when you're serving the Lord, you're laboring unto the Lord. And wherever he's having you labor, it's a place of position for you to express Christ. So that your hand can reach, because it's his hand. So that your mouth can speak, because it's his mouth. So you can lay hands on the sick, and you can remove powers of darkness out of people. It isn't for you to build, or me to build, our own empire. We are building the kingdom of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Romans 13. Romans 13, praise God. And why are we doing this? Verse 11, it says, do this knowing the time that now is high time to awake out of sleep, because too many people are sleeping. Let me tell you, people are, they're in a daze. They show up at church once in a while, wherever they go and whatever, and they do whatever, but they're really not receiving. They're just showing up. So remember, you have a choice to what? Believe. That's your choice to believe. With that choice of believing, you receive. If you truly are receiving, you execute. Remember, when you respond, you're executing God's things. When you react, you're executing the devil's things. And you're going to do one or the other. But you will have dominion if you're drinking of the Spirit. Has everybody got it? Why? Because the anointing gives you strength. You can live a lot longer with water than you can food. And do this knowing the time. Now is high time to wake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of, is anybody there? Darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and in envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh or self to fulfill its lust, because you awaken him and he'll take you over again. Luke 4. React or respond. You have the power to choose. Is everybody there? Luke 4, verse 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into where? The wilderness. Being tempted for 40 days by the devil, and in those days he ate nothing, and afterward when he had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, what? If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Jesus did not react. He responded by saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God. Then the devil tried again, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Now this, look at, I want you to grab hold of this. The devil took Jesus up on a high mountain, showed him the kingdoms of the world. He took God on a mountain and showed him. Don't tell me he doesn't have power. If he can take Jesus up on a mountain and show him all kinds of things, what kind of delusions can he do to me and you? Oh, that's why he loves to bring that flawed belief system to promote a flawed perception. I'm good, I'm all right, yeah. I know Jesus, I read about him. Yeah. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me. Was he lying? No. It was all delivered to him. And I give it to whomever I wish. And he's correct. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. He lied. He lied there. And Jesus answered and said, get behind me, Satan. Now, that was a response of authority. He was executing. Do you get this? He was not reacting. He was executing. Satan, get behind me. It's, if believers would start doing that, hello? When the enemy comes face to face, they let him speak to him. They let him speak to them. Like, it's okay. And then what happens, you know what they do? They react. They sow into the flesh, they reap corruption. Instead of saying, get behind me, Satan, you know when that thought comes? Get the heck behind me, homie. Heinz, you ought to see him coming. You ought to sense what's coming on. See, if you're really alert, you're sensing things already. There's a setup coming. The problem is if you're not seeing in the spirit, you won't sense it. Because the enemy loves to keep you occupied with you. Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then, of course, he brought him into Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. They've cruised to Jerusalem now, the city of God. Set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. Now, here's where the devil loves to use the word to get you snared. See, even the devil will use the word of God. He knows the Bible better than me and you. For it is written. Now, the devil tried to use what Jesus used. I love it. And it says, it is written. He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. And in their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus responded and said, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Why? Because he was tempting him, wasn't he? Now, when the devil had ended every temptation, he only mentioned lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life right here. Jesus responded. He did not react. That's the only way the devil can attack you. Now, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until a what? So it's not over, is it? Oh, hallelujah. But Jesus responded to everything the devil brought to him. Everything. Now, if Jesus, his spirit's in me and you, shouldn't we? We shouldn't react. Not saying that we won't. But you better come out of it quick. Don't stay there and don't justify it. Don't blame someone else. I mean, you remember when Adam and Eve fell, what happened? They blamed one another, right? Oh, my wife gave it to me. She did it. No, my husband. No, the serpent did it. No, everybody's blaming it. Nobody was willing to take responsibility. Jesus did the same thing with Lazarus who died. I love this. Go to John 11. Everybody's freaking out but Jesus. Now, Jesus knew the family, Martha, Mary, Lazarus. They were all very close, and Lazarus got sick. And they told him about it. In verse 11, these things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Actually, go to verse 6 for a second, because I love this part. So they go to Jesus, right? Verse 5 says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed what? 2 more days in the place where he was. He wasn't reacting at all. Lazarus is sick. He knows he's going to die. But yeah, okay, cool. Let's stay a couple more days and get the work done here. Let's be about the Father's business. We'll get there. It's not on my table yet. But we'll get there. What are you going to do? I don't need to know what I'm going to do now. When I'm told what I'm going to do, I'll do it. Other than that, I'm not told what to do. So 2 more days, Jesus stays there, and then he tells him, look, he's asleep. Verse 12, then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, will he get up, get well? However, Jesus spoke of his death. But they thought that he was speaking about taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I'm not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Of course, in Martha comes out running out and says, oh, Jesus, if you were here, this wouldn't have happened. He wouldn't have died. And Jesus says, well, I am the resurrection. Yeah, I know he's going to be resurrected at the end. No, sister, I'm going to resurrect him right now. Jesus did not react. He responded. And that's how we're supposed to be. We're to respond. But I got to emphasize that if you're not filled with the Spirit, you're not strong in the Lord and the power of his might, you're going to constantly react and not respond. What does the word say? Trust in the Lord with all of your might, your heart, your mind, your will. That's why it's so important to keep your new man filled and renewed with the Spirit of God, filled with the Word of God. Philippians 4. Oh, you're going to love this one. Philippians chapter 4. Is everybody there? In verse 4, what does it say? Rejoice. Is that react or respond? Respond. Rejoice in the Lord when? What about when you don't feel like it? What about when you run over your dog? Hallelujah! Little choo-choo-wawa. Rejoice always. That's why it says count it all joy. As you go through trials and tribulations, count it all joy. I didn't say it was going to be easy. Does everybody understand that? Why? How do you count it all joy? You don't look at the present, you look at the future. See, people, the reason why we look at the present is because we're concerned about us. But if we look at the future, we count it all joy. See, because we know what the end is. I know what the end of the story is. Christ forever, eternal joy. Yeah. Next book, next universe, next place. Let's go. I'm ready. We've been here long enough. Count it all. Oh, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And let your what? Gentleness. Is that response or react? I've never seen anyone react very gently, let me tell you. They might have said some high classy words, but it wasn't really gentle. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Oh, are you ready? Are you ready? Here's Mr. React. Mr. and Mrs. React. Be what? Oh! Be anxious for what? For everything. Nothing. Nothing. Be anxious for what? Nothing. Doesn't mean you can't be excited about something. That's different than anxious. Anxious is a push. Be anxious for nothing but in everything by what? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So when that stuff comes, don't go to the phone. Don't go to the phone. Go to the throne. Why? You will respond instead of what? React. Then you will sow to the spirit and reap life instead of sowing to the flesh and reap corruption. Why? When things go on, you got to grab hold and choke that collar of react. And get it behind you and wait for respond to come. 2 Corinthians 10. Hallelujah. Are you getting this? How about gossip? It's called mud-slinging demon. Loves to get fed. Feed the flesh. Feed yourself. Don't let self come off the cross. He'll kick your butt. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 3. For though we walk in the physical realm, we don't war according to it. Does everybody get it? They should have taken that word flesh out of there. It's the physical realm it means. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical or carnal, but are mighty in God for pulling down what? Strongholds are memory lies that cause you to react. When you accepted a lie as a child or whatever, you'll never mount to anything. No. You're no good. You're just like someone else. You're just like this. Hello, anybody? When you accept that, it burns in your memory. And it's always, the enemy's always using it. Self is always throwing it out at you. The enemy's always trying to remind you of it. Remember, he can only attack you from your past because he doesn't know your future. And so a stronghold is a memory lie that you and I have accepted. And it's been there. So every time we're trying to do something, it would bring limitations on our life because it would come up. And what has to get done is you can't remove it, but you can replace it. In other words, you can put something over it, and that's the Word of God. Because once you nullify it, just like you can't remove self, right? The only way self is going to be removed is the day you die. And self ain't going home. You are. Self goes back. You go home. Hallelujah. So in this, a stronghold is a memory lie. But again, you cannot just remove it, but you can replace what it's saying. And you replace it with truth, what God says. So you're replacing something that would cause you to react with something that will cause you to respond. So everybody got it? Well, God says this about me. So I'm looking at what God is saying, not what the world has to say. Amen? It's different. And so it says you got to do that by how? It says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every one of these thoughts, every one of these strongholds, every one of these things that would try to beat you down, degrade you, mislead you, push you, or cause you to stumble. Take them into captivity. What are you going to do with them? It says take them into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So you're going to take those into captivity. You're going to compare them with God says. And what are you going to do? You're going to crush them. You're going to crush them with the Word of God. Why? Because you're going to replace its meaning now. You can't remove it, but I can replace its meaning now. I'm going to replace it with what God says and not what it used to say. So what am I doing? I'm putting a rag in its mouth. I'm covering it over what was dark, and I'm putting light there. It says, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Why? Because that's all it promotes is disobedience, doesn't it? Amen? In Job chapter 2, the employment section. Job chapter 2. In verse 7, they all had a meeting, the angels and the Lord, and Satan came up, and the Lord said, "Where you been?" He said, "I've been going to and fro." And he said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" He says, "Man, you got to hedge your protection around me." He said, "All right, I'll let you harass him, but I'm going to tell you what, he's going to kick your butt, because he's not going to react. He's going to respond, just like Jesus." In verse 7, "So Satan went from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took for himself, Job took for himself a pot shred with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. Then his wife said to him, 'Do you still hold fast to your integrity?'" What did she say? "Curse God and die." Let me tell you, your closest ones are the ones that are going to try to get you to react sometimes. "But he said to her, 'You speak as one of a foolish woman speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity?' In all this, Job did not sin with his lips." He did not react. He responded. And let me tell you, God restored twofold everything that was taken from him. Same thing with Lot's wife. What happened to Lot's wife? Amen. The angels go in to get Lot and the family and the children, and they're leaving, and Lot's wife says, and then what it is, "Do not look back." In other words, you'd be looking at self. Everybody else obeyed, had dominion over self except for his wife. She turned around and whoo, turned to a pillar of salt. Does everybody get it? She kissed self and turned to salt. 1 John chapter 1. React or respond. We must grab hold to react and wait for a respond. Or I kill somebody. Hallelujah. Of course, you can always sing that song, you know. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. "This is a message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him there's no gray area, no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." Practicing the truth is responding. Does everybody get that? "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Chapter 2, verse 29. It says, "If you know that he's righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him." That means responding. Practicing righteousness means you respond. What are you responding to? You're responding the way Christ responds. In chapter 3, in verse 7, it says, "Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him." His seed remains in him, that new born again child. "And he cannot sin because he has been born of God." I want to close with 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thess chapter 2. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? Yes. Hallelujah. React or respond, your choice. Which one are you going to execute? For Christ or for the enemy? "Now, brethren," verse 1, "concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together with him, we ask you not to be soon shaken." In other words, don't start getting reacting. "In mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one" what? "Deceive you." Why? Because deception, the purpose of deception is to cause you to react. "Let no one deceive you by any means, for the day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, but he's not. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know that what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Listen, we are hard pressed in every area. There is more evil and demonic activity on the earth than there ever has been, and it's going to increase. You're going to see more and more anger. You're going to see more and more hatred. You're going to see more and more prejudice. You're going to see more and more greed. You're going to see more and more of ungodliness of the works of the flesh. It's going to increase. Men will get worse. People will become more and more sucked into darkness. But this is the opportunity for your light to shine. This is your time to be trained up, reined up, positioned, to be a sign and wonder to the world that there is a way of escape. Amen? For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. That's me and you. You and I will be taken out of the way because we are not accounted for the wrath of God. So we must do all we can now. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will eventually consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with what? All power, signs, and lying wonders. He's going to deceive many. In fact, people are being deceived right now. And with all unrighteous deception. Unrighteous deception. Why? Unrighteous deception causes people to what? React. Among those who perish, so do the flesh. And result is what? Death. Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie and that they all may be condemned who do not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Eventually, God will step back and let them believe what they want to believe. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for the salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. If you believe the truth, you practice the truth. If you don't believe the truth, you don't practice the truth. Amen? To which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. And now, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts, establish you in every good word and work, that you may respond and not react. Amen? So everybody got it. We want to execute what Christ wants, not what the serpent wants. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. I apply the blood of Jesus on this seed. Ask that you allow it to grow and bear fruit for your glory, and that you'll constantly keep us in check, that we may be sensitive to your unction, to your conviction, and welcome your chastening, because it will save our life. Now, Lord Jesus, as we called on you, you answered us and showed us great and mighty things tonight. I'm asking, Father, that you'll refresh your people, that you'll heal your people, and drive out, in the name of Jesus, all darkness, fear, doubt, anxiety, stress, and works of the flesh in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen? Amen. Praise God. Be blessed.